He's taking a nap right now, so I won't bother him, maybe. He has a beautiful truck. I always got to check in and see what Layton's truck is. Ezra's having fun back there, you know. Ezra, good to see you, sweetheart. Hi. Did you get into some of those Rice Krispie appetizers this morning? I know, they were good. Who we got in the back? We got Wolf back there. And you had Ozzy, too, and they were helping greet this morning. I give God thanks for that. So, I got a lot of questions for you today. I know I didn't give you an advance on the quiz, and you really don't have to answer out. I know that some of you do. But anyway, what do you think when you hear the phrase, praying it up? Now think about it for a second. What do you think of when you hear the phrase, praying something up? I got a few suggestions. Maybe one of these are yours. To make our request known before God. That sounds pretty good, right? Covered in prayer. I think I may have used that term before. Let's just cover things in prayer, right? Yeah, that may be another one that you've thought of. Here's one from last week. Persistent prayer. Remember, persistent prayer. Okay, that's like praying it up. You know, make our request made to God. That's scriptural. Covered in prayer. We can fit that with number one. Persistent in prayer. That's scriptural. We learned that last week. But have we ever thought, have we ever learned, have we ever considered actually the posture of our hearts in prayer? Huh? Right? Okay. So that's where I'm going to stretch us this morning. The posture of our hearts. In today's gospel reading, Jesus teaches us how to pray up. Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. You may be saying to yourself right now, didn't we stop at verse 8 last week? Your answer to yourself is yes, we did. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Important beginning. Here's what Jesus says. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers. I'm just imagining that the Pharisee is looking over and saying the next words, and even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus then says, I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. The gospel of our Lord. Woo! That's interesting. Now, I read it this way so that you could possibly pull out some of the key points that's getting ready to come, okay? So that is, I'm sorry to let that out. I know that you just like the surprise, but in the future you can tell he's probably going there, and you may be right. But we got to do a quick comparison, brothers and sisters. We got to do a quick comparison. The Pharisee. Let's look at the Pharisee real quick. The Pharisee was one who had strict observance of the law, strict observance of all the rules and all the regulations and all the oral traditions and all the stuff that they made up for themselves. Strict observance of all of these things. It was all about that. And notice the posture of the Pharisee in the temple that Jesus tells us about. With pride, he focuses on himself. He stands up and proclaims all of these things about whom? Himself. Thank God I'm not like. Thank God I do this. Right? That is the posture of the Pharisee. Thank God I'm not like these other people, even this tax collector. That's pretty bold, isn't it? But then Jesus flips it in the parable. Remember, the parable is for people who think of themselves more righteous and upstanding than other people. That's the whole purpose for it. So now we have the tax collector. Okay, let me poll the church this morning. How popular to you are tax collectors? Gotcha. God, they're not look still poor tax collectors even today, right? They can't catch a break. Well, tax collectors have not changed over the time from Jesus even to today, so you can kind of get where Jesus is coming from. He's picking someone that's not really looked at too well and really probably despised by many people, right? But the tax collector, the one who is despised and looked down by others, does something unlike the Pharisee. With humility, he bowed down. He will not even look up to heaven. And in that posture of the heart, he confesses something. I am a sinner. God, I am in need of your mercy. Can you catch the contrast of the Pharisee and the tax collector in the prayer? It is completely opposite. But that takes us to our key verse. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. All right, this should be an easy answer for you. You can do this one out loud. Who is humble in the parable? The tax collector. Who exalted themselves in the parable? The Pharisee. You're at 100%. Mark it down. Mark it down. Now, that was a pretty easy question to answer, wasn't it? Who was humble? Who was prideful? Oh, yeah, that is so obvious, right? But do you know that sometimes the obvious for us is actually hidden from us? Let's do a little exercise. Let's ask this question of ourselves. Who am I in this parable? Let's look at it. Who am I in this parable? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 bullet points. Here we go. I'm going to answer them for you. Because I think do I consider myself better than others? No. Does pride rule my life? No. Do I seek humility? Of course. Do I realize that I am a sinner? Absolutely. Do I realize that I am in need of God's mercy? Amen and amen. Did I hit those 5 bullets pretty close? Did you notice the way I said them? Who am I in the parable? Am I the Pharisee or am I the tax collector? And how is my heart wrapped around prayer like Jesus is making a point about today? Who am I? Do I consider myself better than others? Our gut reaction is absolutely not. I'm no better than the other person. But do my actions say otherwise? Let's go a little bit deeper. Do my thoughts say otherwise. What was the second one? You remember? No? Because I don't like where you're going with this. Does pride rule my life? Absolutely not. I'm not prideful. Does it sneak in? Does it find a little crevice? It may not rule my life, but do I allow it to creep in to my life? The third bullet, do I seek humility? We want to say really quick, of course. But in everything that we do, do we seek humility to be the number one leading piece of our spiritual lives? Do I realize that I am a sinner? Quickly, we will say, absolutely. Or we may say, I'm not a sinner. I've heard it before. I don't sin. Really? You just did, right? Do I realize I need God's mercy? Absolutely. Maybe we have a hard time struggling around that. But friends, this is where I want us to really dig deep today. Our inner thoughts are a very strong part of what shapes our heart about who we really are. In the wisdom literature, in the Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, the 7th verse, we hear these words of wisdom. For as he thinketh in his heart, he is. Fit it to meet. For as I think in my heart, that is who I am. That's Proverbs 23:7. That's not Pastor Bill 101. There's a book written in 1903 by James Allen. You may be familiar with this title, As a Man Thinketh. And he uses this analogy in the book. We may think, 1903, there's nothing that can be applicable from 1903. Oh yeah, even stuff written like 2,000 years ago is applicable. So James Allen's 1903 book, As a Man Thinketh, he uses this analogy. A man's mind may be likened to a garden. So put a garden in your mind right now, which may be intelligently cultivated or allowed to run wild. But whether cultivated or neglected, it must and will bring forth. If no useful seeds are put into it, then an abundance of useless weed seeds will fall therein and will continue to produce their kind. Amen and amen. When I read that and studied that this week, I'm thinking of almost every garden that I have ever planted has turned to weeds. But that is absolutely so applicable to my mind, to my thoughts, which affects my heart. What I cultivate that with, what I nurture that with, what I utilize for that, produces what comes out. So I have an application for us today. Just like you have to cultivate a garden, you have to cultivate your heart. We have to cultivate our heart for God by praying up. Number one, day in and day out, seeking to live out the virtue of humility. Day in and day out to seek out the virtue of humility. Paul, in his letter to the church in Philippians, the second chapter, the third verse, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Now that was, did you catch it? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Seeking humility day in, day out. Hey, this is hard. It is not easy. And I'll remind us, that's why we have each other together. That's why. Because it's hard. It's difficult. Those thoughts, what's the saying? Those thoughts creep in. Daily seeking to live out the virtue of humility. Number two, daily confession of our sins. Notice the posture of the heart of the tax collector was to repent of his sin. We cannot say that we are sinless. We may have a good run for about an hour a day, but we are in need of constant confession and constant seeking God's repentance. In 1 John, the first chapter, the 9th verse, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. That was a part of the posture for the tax collector. He wanted God to hear him, not because he had a prayer list, but because he was a sinner. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, he is just, and will forgive our sins and purify us for all unrighteousness. To take the duty of daily confession of sin, along with a daily practice of humility, I guess this is like the part of the secret sauce, and I'm going to add the third ingredient. It's daily asking for God's mercy. Puts our heart in the proper place for cultivation. Daily asking God for his mercy. Think of the letter to the church from Ephesians, the second chapter, the 4th verse. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, will show mercy upon us. That is the position of the heart. That is praying up. Because if I exalt self, I'm going to get humbled. I want to let you in on a little something. It ain't very much fun getting humbled. But the one who humbles himself will be exalted. You may notice, you may have had in different learnings prior, but pride is the sin and humility is the virtue that cancels it out. We can do it together. Daily working, approaching the day humbly, seeking God's forgiveness, and seeking God's mercy. I would invite you to do something of this nature. This is a practical application. Write a prayer today, a beginning of the day prayer and an end of the day prayer, to include these three points: a prayer, confession of sin, or humility, confession of sin, and seeking God's mercy. I could give you a sample, but I don't want you copying off of me. Now that I said that out loud, I was thinking, you know what? In school, there was hardly anybody that ever copied off me. Maybe it's not that big of a thing, but write out your own prayer to add to your current daily prayer routine to include these things. to start the day by asking God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, show me today where I need to humble myself, where I need to confess my sins, and where I need to seek Your mercy. And at the end of the day, God, have You found me faithful? Which has been the theme through the last three chapters of Luke. If we are humble before the Lord, earnestly seek repentance of our sins and seek God's mercy, He will find you faithful when He returns. Amen and amen.